Today we are reading text 19, 20, and 21. Text 19. Sattvam jigamsase kasmat dinam akrita kilbisham Anasya katam yosham Dharmagna iti yomataha Sattvam jidam sase kasma Dinamakrita kilvisham Anasya katam yosham Dharmatna iti yomataha Sattvam jidamsase kasma Dinamakrita kilvisham Ahanisya katam yosham Dharmatna iti yomataha Vatuvandini Saha That very person, Tvam, you, Jigamsase, want to kill. Kasma, why? Dinam, poor. Akrita, without having done. Kill Visham, any sinful activities. Ahanisya, would kill. Katham. How? Yosham. A woman. Dharmagya. The knower of religious principles. Iti. Thus. Yaha. One who. Mataha. Is considered. Translation and purport. Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The cow-shaped earth continued to appeal to the king. I am very poor and have not committed any sinful activities. I do not know why you want to kill me. Since you are supposed to be the knower of all religious principles, why are you so envious of me? And why are you so anxious to kill a woman? Purport. The earth appealed to the king in two ways. A king who knows religious principles cannot kill anyone who has not committed sinful activities. Apart from this, a woman is not to be killed even if she does commit some sinful activities. Since the earth was innocent and was also a woman, the king should not kill her. We will read text 20 as well. Praharanti navai strishu kritak aghasav apijantava kimutatvat vidharajan karunatina vatsala. Even if a woman does commit some sinful activity, no one should place his hand upon her. And what to speak of you, dear king, who are so merciful. You are a protector and you are affectionate to the poor. Upmagyana timirandasya Gyananjana shalakaya Chakshurun militam yena Tasmai shri purvena Shri chaitanya manovrishtam Sthapitam yena bhutale Swayam rupa kadamaniyam Dadati swapadantitam
वंदे हम श्री गुरु श्री युता पद कमल श्री गुरु वैष्णवांश श्री रूपम सागर जाता सहगना रघुनाथांबितम तम सजीवम साधवैतम सावधूतम परिजना सहितम कृष्ण चैतन्य देव श्री राधा कृष्ण पादा सहगना धरिता श्री विशाखान्विता नमाउ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नामिने गौरविषये नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत सिराधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि नीलाचल निवासाय नित्याय परमात्मने बलभद्र सुभद्राभ्यां जगन्नाथाय ते नमः वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मूकं करोति वाचां अंगुं लंगायते यत्कृपा तमहं वंदे श्रीगुरो दीनकारिणं
seek the blessings of all devotees here so that we can make some humble attempt to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. I am very poor and I have not committed any sinful activities. I do not know why you want to kill me. This is an episode between Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi, and Maharaj Prabhu. And the very interesting and intriguing aspect is that this is an episode amongst great devotees. The Bhumi Devi is a great devotee. She is a demigoddess. She is a representative of the Lord. To facilitate nurturing of the living entity, she is representing the Lord for us.
That is Bhumi Devi. And Prithu Maharaj is the channelization of the potencies of the Lord. He's an extraordinarily empowered personality. As Maharaj was so beautifully explaining last 2 days. And this is an episode which is occurring between both of them. It is so rare to be even be able to get an opportunity to be connected to the Lord. It requires causeless mercy. To be able to activate ongoing continuous devotional service is even more rare, because it requires heaps and heaps of bhakti urmukh punya karma, heaps and heaps of pious activities. Then the outflow or the dynamic outflow of devotional service takes place. And it is even more rare to be able to get an opportunity to represent the Lord, to get some service in the mission of the Lord. That means that a position to be able to get some service for the Lord is such a cherished and auspicious position which is so rarely achieved, and therefore it should give one an experience of divine bliss. It should give one an experience of liberation from the moods. It should give one an experience of liberation from the heat and the torment and the torture of this material world. That's what service is supposed to lead to. So the question is, or the question which comes with the question which comes is that many times when we talk about devotional service, or when we understand devotional service, the coming into Krishna consciousness itself is such a big step, crossing so many hurdles of external obstacles, mental obstacles, faith and so on. The question is that after coming to Krishna consciousness, is the life happily ever after? Does the movie end? Is it?
It starts.
So here we are seeing, yes, Maharaj Prithu is actually carrying out his affairs of taking care of the citizens and facilitating them and helping them become Krishna conscious. And Bhumi Devi herself is also serving the Lord. She is also diligently, persistently, with perseverance, executing her service. And in the mutual execution of service, now we see there are firecrackers, there are sparks, and each one is frustrated with the other. So here in the verse today, Bhumi Devi is feeling so much tormented. Then what is this? Prithu Maharaj is after my life? And all I am doing is my service. And yes, he is an empowered personality and he is after my life. And that's why she is making the point. I have not done any sinful activity. I am carrying on my service. And we saw a few verses before, and we will see elaborately a few verses later as well. Maharaj Prithu is also feeling great torment and pain. Because Maharaj Prithu is feeling that yes, I want to serve the kingdom. And I want to serve the citizens in facilitating them to go back towards emancipation. And this is the divine mission. And why Bhumi Devi is, you know, closing the gates? Why is she not opening the gates? She is creating an obstacle in my service. But actually we see Bhumi Devi is feeling the same. And she is feeling, I am happily serving the Lord. And why Maharaj Prithu is creating an obstacle in my service? And the amazing thing is, both are doing service. So many times we see that the outcome of performing service may not appear to be a very favorable one. There is heat, there is torment, there is obstacles. One may have to interface critics, harshness, misunderstanding. One may have to face obstacles on various levels. First of all, to do some seva, there is obstacle internally. We have to fight with our own mind and senses. Because mind and senses take a person astray. To be able to focus on the service of the Lord, to let me go on. That requires a great amount of battle. Then in this material world, to arrange something is even more difficult. To be able to arrange a facility to serve the Lord, that requires a great struggle. But the biggest or the most piercing experience is when one has to face or when one faces obstacle from the devotees. That is our own family. That is our own family. And that becomes sometimes very challenging to interface. That becomes very challenging to interface. That why is the obstacle coming from my own fellow devotees? And why is my service being minimized or not acknowledged or not favored? And so on. So that is why we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, these episodes can teach us a great amount of lesson. These episodes can teach us a lesson for our lives actually. So the question which comes is that, how can service to the Lord lead to an experience of harshness, lead to an experience of heat and burnout? That is the aspect we wanted to highlight in our discussion today. When we learn this pastime or when we hear about this pastime, we can interface these pastime in two ways. One is, here we see that this is not only between the devotees. Yes, Prithu Maharaj is Shakti Veshavatar and more so therefore taking the role of a devotee. But because of his extraordinary empowerment, he also shares an intersection with the powers of the Lord. So it is not just... So here we see two kinds of lessons. One is the stature of the Lord, and second is the interaction between the devotees. And both these aspects we can understand, or we can learn here actually. In the because while we are understanding or evaluating this pastime,
or while we are understanding this pastime, to see what lessons we can learn from it. We cannot forego the fact that Prithu Maharaj is an empowered incarnation, Shaktyavesha incarnation. And Prithu Maharaj is really angry. As Maharaj was explaining yesterday, he is relentless and he is not, even though Bhumi Devi is taking shelter of him now, but still Prithu Maharaj is in no mood to give it up. And we are going to see, Prithu Maharaj is going to give a full explanation why he wants to kill her and kill her. No, he is not wanting to step back actually. So, that is the Lord. So angry. And and in one sense, it is the Lord who is so angry towards his own devotee in that way. So in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in chapter 87, there is a very beautiful episode of the personified Vedas offering prayers in glorification to Lord. And these prayers are very amazing. Srila Prabhupada explains actually that there are these 28 prayers there, and each and every prayer is actually one personified Veda who is actually glorifying the Lord. So it's an individual offering of each of the personified Vedas. So in themselves, these offerings of prayers are very deep. And powerful. So one of the prayers, the personified Vedas talk about the aspect of suffering in this world. That yes, even during the execution of devotional service, one may have to face suffering. That's another aspect what a devotee, or another challenge which a devotee faces through. That life doesn't seem to be any better. The struggle, the obstacles, they seem to be similar. So yes, the experience of suffering is very much there. And the personified Vedas do talk about it. It is very interesting. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Sridhar Swami have given extensive commentaries on this section actually. And Srila Prabhupada elaborately quotes in the purports. So there, so in that particular section about about suffering, the aspect which Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur brings about, so personified Vedas are talking about that actually this suffering of the living entity, which the living entity faces, helps him to go closer to Krishna. It paves the way, it opens the door for one to depend on Krishna. It opens the door for one to continue to remember Krishna. It awakens a living entity from the material slumber. And therefore, that suffering is a welcome situation, or in fact, it is a necessity. This is what the personified Vedas are talking about. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the ordeal which a sadhaka undergoes in Krishna consciousness may appear to be very much like the karmic reactions which any mundane materialistic person may suffer or may go through, but there is a difference. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the difference is that when a materialistic person interfaces the karmic reactions, positive and negative, both of them, along with the karmic reaction, what comes is the seed
for further entanglements. So yes, we have seen technically also the kutam, bijam, phalon, mukam in that cycle. The sin leads to a tendency to commit sin more. So the karmic reaction has a seed of further entanglement. And therefore, to get out of the loop of this karmic cycle is impossible. Because the moment there is motion, forward motion on the karma plane, then along with that forward motion, one is getting more attached. There is a seed of further entanglement. And because of that, one is further bound. And further motion, further bound. Further motion, further bound. So that is karma. That is the whole premise of karma. But in a devotee's life, we see that when the Lord sanctions suffering on a living entity, so it may appear to be karma, good karma, bad karma, there is no seed of further entanglement. And therefore, the net effect is purification of heart. And that is the difference actually. The net effect is purification of the heart. And this is why, so therefore Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that yes, elaborating on the prayers of the personified Vedas of suffering as a necessity, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains so beautifully. He says that the taste of eating comes only when there is a substantial hunger. If there is no hunger, if there is no appetite, the food is not tasty. Similarly, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pada explains that the beauty of, say for example, a lamp can be relished or experienced only when there is darkness around. Now we are sitting in a hall which is closed on all sides, and if you are sitting in a bright sun, then the lamp becomes insignificant. There is no beauty. There is no... So similarly, when the heart of the living entity is in that way, roasted or toasted through sufferings, then that heart becomes ripe to taste the mercy of Krishna. Similarly, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further gives analogies. He says, just like if it is a summer season, it is 45 degrees centigrade, you know, or it is half century degrees centigrade, 50 degrees centigrade, it is soaring. And there are hot winds which are blowing, burning hot winds which are blowing, engulfing one's existence as if one is in a furnace. And all of a sudden, in that situation, one gets access to enter cold water. So the setting can make one relish the experience of the cold water. And Chakravarti Pada further gives analogy. And he says, in the same way, in an ice-cold winter season, if one gets a boiling hot water to take bath, or one gets to enter a hot water kunda, you know, and there are these fumes and vapors, and one is engulfing the vapors, and all the vapors are flowing out of one's body, and one can relish it. Why? Because the external atmosphere is very cold. In the same way, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pada explains, suffering is imperative. So, in that sense, we can understand that the Lord's fury can move the things. The Lord's fury acts to move the things, actually. Here also, we are going to see. So, Prithu Maharaj is very angry And his anger is going to move the things. Things are going to work out because the Lord has taken the driving seat. The Lord is steering. His anger can move the things. We see this in the pastimes of Sri Ramayana. And here was Lord Ramachandra on the banks of the ocean, praying to the ocean god to give way. And the ocean god said, "No way." And the Lord was praying. Day and night the Lord was meditating and praying to the ocean god to give way. And the reciprocation was, "No way." And then the Lord became furious. Now this is very interesting. Lord Ramachandra became furious. The Maryada Purushottama became furious. So, the Lord Ramachandra became furious, the ocean started boiling and vaporizing, sublimating. And when that happened, the ocean god came and said, "Yes, it's a way." And then he gave way actually. And that's how the service of building the Setu started. 8 miles wide was the bridge. It was, I believe, 80 miles long and 8 miles wide was the bridge. The Setu. But it only happened. So what moved everything was the Lord's fury again. Lord's fury. And therefore, we have to understand that the Lord, whatever He arranges in our life, it is of the same flavor, which is the auspicious flavor. And that is why it cannot be related to the mundane experiences of the world. So even though one may undergo a tribulation, the understanding which one has to carry on is that the Lord is arranging tribulation. That tribulation is of an auspicious flavor. That tribulation is not like the mundane experience of this world. It is auspicious. It is auspicious. So what to say of the Lord in this connection? In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the pastimes of the Mahabhagavata Acharya Maharaj Dhruva. Yeah, some chapters back. So Maharaj Dhruva, when his brother Uttama was killed by the Yaksha, Maharaj Dhruva was so furious. And it is explained, Maharaj Dhruva, he was burning with that fury and anger, and in that pursuit of vengeance, Maharaj Dhruva attacked the planet of the Yakshas. And in a very panoramic and pictorial way, the fight of Maharaj Dhruva with the Yakshas is described. Because the Yakshas are powerful personalities. They have demigod-like powers. They're not human-like powers. They're much more powers. And the way they were fighting and the way Maharaj Dhruva was reciprocating, and Maharaj Dhruva like a sun, you know, being covered by a cloud sometimes, but then still, then after that, you know, showing his radiance, he was completely wiping off the existence of the Yakshas. And that was, now in that case, you know, Acharyas clearly explained Maharaj Dhruva got little swayed off. He got swayed off by that drive of anger. Means the activity which he performed was not at all justified. Because for the killing of one Yaksha, he was ready to wipe off and furthering ahead to wipe off the entire race of the Yakshas. So that's why when Swayambhuva Manu appeared to stop him, he said, "Stop it, what are you doing? This is Atirosh. You have to give it up. This is excessive anger and you need to give it up." So now, and then immediately, because you know, a higher person has come, immediately Maharaj Dhruva comes to his senses and bows down and retraces back his steps and seeks forgiveness. So Swayambhuva Manu blesses him. So, and then Kubera also comes and blesses him. He's the head of the Yakshas, not like that. So it
in this pastime, we can see that the acharyas clearly explained here Maharaj Dhruva was a Mahabhagavat and he got sidetracked. He committed an activity which was should not have been done. He got swayed off by atirosha or anger. But then the acharyas explained in the purport that Maharaj Dhruva, when he was shooting arrows on the yakshas and the yakshas were getting killed, by the touch of those arrows, the yakshas were getting purified and getting liberation. The acharyas explained that in this section. It is very interesting. It is very amazing to see that here Maharaj Dhruva was committing a mistake, wrongly doing, but because he was a Mahabhagavat, because his arrow was going in the wrong direction, but it was a Mahabhagavat's arrow, when it was touching the yakshas, they were getting delivered. They were getting purified. So this is the nature of the Lord. That here was a Lord's devotee who was apparently committing a mistake, but then the Lord arranged a very auspicious effect still. The Lord arranged a very auspicious effect still. So this is the first aspect considering the position of the Supreme Lord. Considering the position of Prithu Maharaj as a Shaktyavesh avatar, that he has an intersection. You know, on both the planes, the Jiva plane and the Vishnu Tattva plane, actually. So is it the powers of the Lord are on the scene. And therefore the Lord's fury we need to understand in that sense. Now, the second aspect of it is on the devotee plane. What we are seeing is an experience of harshness and torment in the mutual execution of service. So what do we understand of this and how to rectify this? Or how should one orient himself in this particular setting? We see this material world is a place of duality. It is explained so many places in the scriptures. Duality means that it is never going to be balanced. It is never going to be equilibrated. It is always going to be extremes. This is the meaning of duality. Excessive heat means excessive cold is going to come. Too much jubilation means tomorrow too much frustration is going to come. The higher one rises, the harder one falls. This is duality. So, and we understand the principle of the working of material nature is jivo, jivas, jivanam. That means that there is no free track in this world. The material world in that case is a congested road. Any move you take, somewhere one is going to bang. So without banging, there is no motion because this is material world. So therefore, the flavor of the material world is overpowering. And many times in devotee circle also, the flavor of this material world overpowers so much so that one experience that same heat and torment even in the assembly of devotees. Just like in a desert, how much ever water you put in the sand, it appears to be desert only. It is never going to become a green land, you know, with grass growing and there is dew on the soil and so on and so forth. It's a desert. One may put gallons and gallons of water, it remains the same desert still actually. One will not see immediately that water vanishes. So any activity of servitude or sacrifice we see in this world, it doesn't stay for long. Means it immediately vanishes. Many times many devotees are sacrificing. In the assembly of devotees they are struggling, they are stretching, and we may not even observe it. We may not even observe it. It doesn't stay for long. Why? Because the whole situation, the fabric of the world is a desert. And that is why the experience of the torture or the torment or the dissatisfaction or the harshness becomes prominent. That is the nature of this world. This nature should not be equated with a particular devotee or a particular set of devotees with whom we got some acquaintance with, or the, you know, but it is the very nature of this world actually. Because we will see that a move towards one side is a, we can say an investment on one side is a withdrawal on the other side. This is how exactly it is. The nature of the world is like that. A favoritism towards one person means, no, again, a withdrawal from the other person. No. Or a negative investment from the other person. Is it not? It's just like a simple example. There is Mahaprasad, and one is suppose making a plate for some, you know, devotee. So he's favoring a particular devotee. But he doesn't know that after 5 minutes, another devotee who may come and he will not get a plate of prasad. No. Why? Because, so favoritism one side is a withdrawal on the other side. I remember I was newly put into the management council in Calcutta, in our temple, you know, like that. And it was one of my initial meetings actually, the management meetings and like that. And so I remember it was a 2-hour long meeting, and there were two parties. And so the question was, there was a limited fund in the temple, and there was a certain amount of fund which was there, and then the whole meeting was, okay, where it should be channelized and distributed. So here was one in charge, and he was telling, you see, these funds should be used for, you know, celebrating a huge opulent festival for the deities, with great pomp and glory. And there was another in charge, and he was telling, no, you see, our temple residents, they are not having basic health facilities. You know, if they ask for an apple, we don't have money to give that. You know? So now we need to spend it on health, on insurance, on now various arrangements for the devotees, the 50 devotees, you know, in the temple. You know? And the other devotee was telling, don't you have any feelings for the deities? He's the Supreme Lord. He needs, you know, love and care. I mean, so he needs the greatest service. Everything should be there for the Lord. No? And the other one was telling, you see, you know, and the devotees are diseased, and then, you know, and they are getting diseased. You see, you know, how many people have got backaches, and, you know, they have got arthritis, and they are getting, so many, you know, scores of diseases. And he was telling, just feel their agony, you know, go and visit them when they are in the hospital and this and that. Why? Because the health index of the ashram is going down and this and that. And this went on for 2 hours. It was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Where should the money be used? That is the question. Should it be used for the deities? Should it be used for the health of the devotees? What do we do? Like that. And there was no resolution. The end of the meeting. Not in the meeting. So the question is now, whichever direction one uses, the other direction has to suffer in one sense. So one may say, okay, you've used it for the health of the devotee, devotees have got insurance, they're getting a regular everyday supply of fruits, dry fruits and so on, or, you know, maybe some Ayurvedic tonics and so on and so forth. But then the deity festival is simple. Yeah. There is only, you know, rice, dal, sabji and one halwa sweet prasad. Nah? There is no opulent prasad there. Or one can have a pompous festival, but then some devotee, the health has gone down, somebody leaves the ashram, nah? And so on. So, any direction one takes hits down on the other direction. So, this is this material world actually. This is this material world. And therefore, like I remember one time in the Rath Yatra festival, so we had our Kharagpur students, and 9 days we had Calcutta as a 9-day Rath Yatra festival. So we have a full ground, and the Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, they are there on the ground on the pandal, and there are so many stalls, and there is a hall, and there are so many programs which are taking place. Amazing event actually. It's an event we cherish for and long for throughout the year actually.
So all our devotees were there, and they had put up a stall, and they were there teaching and distributing books and enrolling the visitors in the pandal. So this was the Ultarath day, the ninth day, and the Lord was supposed to come back. And we had planned that from after the Ultarath, we will go to Jagannath Puri. Because in Puri, after the Ultarath, for 3 days, the Lord Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Maharani are there outside the Simhadwar, in the Rath itself. For 3 days, the Lord is there on the Rath itself. And if you go early morning, you can chant beside the Lord, all your 16 rounds. Lord Jagannath is out there only for 3 days actually. It's a very special event actually. And then there are so many Shringars of the Lord. There is Sonave Shringar of the Lord, which is out of the world. One with whom you see the Lord as if one is in Vaikuntha. The darshan is like that. The Lord is so gorgeous and effulgent. Sonave Shavatar. So we had planned to go to attend that. And our services were over because Ultarath, our Pandal services, preaching and everything was over. So then as soon as and during the day of the Rath Yatra, actually our devotees didn't got anything much prasad to eat actually. There was morning breakfast, but there was no lunch actually, because there is whole day Rath Yatra, 5 hours, 6 hours like that. So yeah, somebody has some food packets, but it's difficult to find who is one in the whole procession where it is. And sometimes it becomes like that. So our devotees were very hungry. And then I came to temple to pick up my bag. I saw that after the Rath, for everyone, for the public, there were khichdi prasad which was there, and there were drums and drums of it like that. So I thought, okay, I'll take a bucket, pack something, and devotees are so hungry since morning, like that. Then I called up the in charge of the khichdi distribution, like that. I said, Prabhu, I'm seeing this khichdi drum. You can take a bucket for our devotees because we have a train to catch. We're going to Puri. So he said, No, you cannot touch it before 6 PM, I said, our devotees are very hungry. 9 days they have served so much, And please. He said, no, I don't want to talk to you, He cut the phone, not picking the phone, like that. And these devotees are crying and saying, Prabhu, we're so hungry, what to do, So, amazing situation actually. It was an amazing situation. I didn't know what to do actually. And to add spice on the whole thing, I was standing outside the temple door and I was seeing that the drum was on the road itself actually. The drums were on the road because the distribution is outside the temple. Huge drums, And multiple of the drums, so they're outside on the road like that. And I was seeing a dog was passing by and he was about to pounce on that drum because nobody was around, It's a khichdi drum like that, and I was feeling so intense that, okay, a dog can, eat it, but our devotees are not getting it. So anyhow, I took shelter of some of the devotees and they arranged from somewhere else some things, and then I told in Kharagpur there were some students to make some prasad there so that the train passes through there, we can get some prasad. So later I was reflecting on this incident because I was obsessed on one type of service, that okay, I am responsible for these devotees, they should be a little comfortable. But then I was seeing the other side also, this devotee was also responsible for some service. He wanted things to be, very orderly, means everyone should get, and things should work out very nicely. The serving to huge number of people, thousands of people, and then that should go on very nicely. So, we see it's all about service. There is no sense gratification here. There is no anomaly here. And therefore, the point is that the experience of heat, one should take it up on a good note. That it's okay. It's not like a pistol and a head point on us. It's not being shooted on us. This is the nature of this world actually. Because that is how this world is. Therefore, we see that many times when we execute service, the biggest obstacle which comes is, or the biggest challenge which comes is that in the setting of service or while executing the service, it is very important to take out ourselves from the scene many times. Because many times our evaluation matrix is ultimately somehow or the other boils down to what experience I am getting.
and therefore what experience I am getting. So now somehow or the other it boils down to, you know, what is coming to me. And if we learn to take this off, then we can see, okay, that everyone is serving Krishna. And the moment they have served, you know, the fact that they have served Krishna, that is good enough actually. Because ultimately we also want that. So whether the experience on my front is a little hot or a little insensitive, it doesn't matter. That is the point actually. And therefore, the aspect to understand is that we need to see and understand that yes, devotees are serving Krishna in variegated ways, and that way or methodology may not have any intersection with our way of service, and therefore we may not have any experience, but that doesn't mean that the service is not complete. That doesn't mean that Krishna is not pleased. So this is the fact actually. So we need to learn, you know, to take out ourselves from this whole scene many times when it comes to relationships and dealings. Another very important and wonderful aspect which we see here is that, you know, Bhumi Devi at this point of time, now when Bhumi Devi is teaching us a very wonderful lesson, because now here Bhumi Devi, time and again in verses we can see she is appealing to, Bhumi Devi is appealing to the good side of Maharaj Prithu. Again and again you will see Bhumi Devi, last verse also, this verse also, she is addressing the Lord as Dharmagya. So she is appealing to the good side of the Lord. The Lord is very angry right now. But then she is appealing to the good side of the Lord always. You are so merciful. No? You are for the knower of all religious principles. And you are a protector. And you are affectionate to the poor. And yes, that is one amazing side of Prithu Maharaj. And she is appealing to that side a lot. No, that way. So, and not on this side of... And Bhumi Devi is not appealing. She is not relating with the angry side. She is appealing to the good side of the Lord actually. Therefore we see many times that in this way, whenever there is humility in behavior and heart, we will see everything works out. Devotees are soft people. They are good natured people. They want to serve Krishna. And whenever there are hassles, a good behavior can solve everything in due course. A good behavior can pave the way actually. So in that way we see that, you know, it is in a humble disposition, we can see that a humble disposition, one can always find the way forward. One can always find help and support forward. But in an arrogant disposition, one will see there are obstacles everywhere. So this is a very wonderful lesson we learn here from Bhumi Devi. And Bhumi Devi is amazingly actually taking this such a humble disposition. You know, she has transformed herself like a cow, and then she is appealing to the good nature of the Lord. In that way she is taking shelter actually. So devotee dealings do not move forward with challenge. Devotee dealings do not move forward in a competitive spirit. Devotee dealings do not move forward with critics. Devotee dealings move forward by taking shelter. We humbly take shelter. We respect. We appreciate. So that's like invoking the good nature actually. And that's what can take us forward. What can strive us forward actually. What can strive us forward. In this way, and then further, Mother Bhumi Devi is making the point that actually, if you are going to kill me, it is going to harm the citizens as well. But Bhumi is a resting platform actually, and you know, Bhumi is a resting platform. And then if there is no resting platform, how will the citizens be happy? So many times in devotee dealings, it's not either or actually. It's not that okay, you know, if this devotee is not there, I can drive everything myself. It is going to be an arduous task. Maybe Prithu Maharaj can. Prithu Maharaj is an empowered incarnation. He can work out everything himself. But then, when it comes to us, surely we understand we cannot work out everything itself. We need devotees around, you know, like that. For the better proposition is to accept whatever the devotee is offering us. Okay, he may not be offering us whatever we expected, but at least it is some percentage of it is being offered for us, for the devotee community, for the mission. Better we accept that, and what is not being offered, better we can pray to Krishna to see how from somewhere else it can be supplied. That's a better disposition. And this is exactly what Prithu Maharaj did in his next dealings. So his next, Prithu Maharaj, next dissatisfaction was with the sun god. And Prithu Maharaj was not happy with the sun god. And Prithu Maharaj was thinking sun god is lazy. You know, he is not, what is this? He's half the day, he's on, half the day, he's off, he's taking so much rest. It's not good actually. And now, in that episode or in that pastime, you can see Prithu Maharaj is not challenging the sun god and trying to kill him off. You know? But Prithu Maharaj said, okay, you're doing 12 hours, I will do the next 12 hours. You know? And therefore, Prithu Maharaj himself took his chariot and made his chariot as effulgent as the sun. And then he went to the opposite pole, and then he was moving with the sun actually. So there was 24 hours daylight in Prithu Maharaj's kingdom. You know? There was light always, you know, like that. So Prithu Maharaj did not reprimand sun god in his dealings there, but then he actually augmented what sun god was doing. Okay, he was doing 12 hours and Prithu Maharaj did 12 more. The 24 hours daylight actually, it was all light everywhere in Prithu Maharaj's kingdom actually. We saw that, and that's exactly what we are supposed to do in our devotee dealings actually. So to summarize, we discussed about interfacing harshness or a feeling of being tormented or tortured or being played upon in devotee dealings or in the execution of service. And we saw that on two notes, that when the factor of the Lord is involved, the Lord's fury can move the things. The Lord's fury can move the things. And therefore, we discussed from 10th canto how it leads to purification and there is no karma. And then when it comes to devotee dealings, we saw that the nature of the world is that it is a desert. And therefore, any activity of service doesn't stay for long. And the meaning of duality is that a service in one direction takes off or is a withdrawal in the other direction. Therefore, one should take it up on a good note. And we learn the behavior of how to handle these situations from Mother Bhumi itself. A humble, a respectful and appreciative disposition of taking shelter can pave the way, not a challenging or an arrogant spirit. Acknowledging, and then we ended on the note that yes, from Prithu Maharaj's life itself we can see that whatever we are getting, better accept that from devotees, and what is still needed, can take shelter of the Lord and see how that can be supplied. So in that way, we augment each other rather than and complement each other rather than replace each other. We will stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any questions or comments?
What is the mood of Lakshman when Lavana was getting angry with Krishna? You want to tell us the mood of Lakshman?
What was Lord Lakshman's mood? Okay. I have not exclusively read it or maybe focused on it. Yeah, I have not exclusively focused on Ramayana. What was Lord Lakshman's mood? I cannot comment.
Very furious.
Huh? Very furious?
Very furious.
Even when Lord Ramachandra was not so furious, then also in episode we see Lord Lakshman was very furious. So yes, Lord's fury acts in an amazing way. So we'll stop here. Grantharachimad Bhagatam ki.